Hey, pack up your gear. We're going on the road, folks, as we follow the All Over the Map family as they wander the world over the next year in search of their forever home. So let's bring them in as we're recapping the start of this journey with Caitlin and Michael Domner. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Paul. Doing great. Yeah, good to be here.
We've done a couple episodes. The first one was about why. The second one was how you packed it all up and got on the road. Today, we're going to talk about the early version where you just were traveling around the country. You moved from Apple Valley to where? Where was the first place on the trip once you got everybody in the minivan?
Yeah, so we packed up our house, got everything into the 20-foot storage container, and July 1st, we had kind of drawn that as the line in the sand, and we left our home in Apple Valley, California, and we drove initially right up to Utah, spent the night with some friends, and then went on to West Yellowstone and went to Yellowstone. But really, our goal was we had a 45-day road trip planned across all the way across the United States. So first, we went to Yellowstone. We wanted to hit a lot of kind of iconic American
sites. You got to. You're driving by Yellowstone. You're driving by whatever.
The thing for us was we were going to show the kids the entire world, but they didn't have anything really to compare it to.
Wow.
Right. So they didn't have a baseline benchmark of what the United States was like. We had done road trips through California and up the Pacific Coast and
a little bit
down. And then over to Kansas. So they had seen some things, but we were like, Yellowstone, that is American nature. And then Rushmore and Washington, D.C.
Rushmore,
and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
So we wanted to be able to check off kind of the United States bucket list items first. Just, I don't know, because I didn't want our kids to forget they were American, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
all right.
It was kind of an easy place for us to start.
All right. So what was that start like? In the beginning, it must have just felt like a family vacation. We're going to Yellowstone. We're going to go watch. We've got these three things to see today here. We've got to go see Old Faithful. We've got to go see something else. And then we're here for a day or two. And now we're on to Mount Rushmore and other places. When did it stop feeling like a vacation and start feeling like an ongoing adventure?
Yeah, I don't think that it really did while we were in the U.S. I mean, we had for a large part of it was July and August, so we weren't doing school really consistently with the kids. It was like sometimes when we were driving, we'd have them read or we'd have them do educational applications on their tablets, that kind of thing. But it really felt more like a vacation for that first road trip across the U.S. And at first we were like, oh my goodness, like this is tough. Like we're having to move. We were moving a lot every 2 to 3 days. Hitting a new site, hitting a new thing that we wanted to see. We didn't have any really long stays. We just had a lot of places that we wanted to go, and we already had our flights booked on August 16th out of Miami. So we knew before then we had to make it to Miami.
On that date, right.
Yeah, so that was our hard stop. But between there, we kind of left it as open as possible and just wanted to see as much of the country as we could. So that was our goal.
And are your kids good?
Yeah, I think
good?
I was typing it up for our website, we did like 56 bucket list items in 45 days. So we just packed a lot in. So it was pretty
intense.
Pretty intense. It's kind of exhausting.
And that's what I always find family vacation, because I'm like that. If I go to South Dakota, we did go to South Dakota with my daughter, and we didn't just fly to see one thing. We got in the car and drove to North Dakota and up and down and all. And so and my daughter kept saying, can't we stop? I'm, no, we've got to go see this. We got to get there now. And so we spent a lot of time in the car going from one place to, because it's big, wide open spaces. You can't get from this point to that point quickly. You can't hop on a plane. You can't see it all in one week in one location. So to get out and see the whole thing, we saw the whole thing. Yellowstone, the same thing. We drove all over Montana and Wyoming and all those things. Yeah. There. If I've come this far, damn it, we're going to see everything that's up here.
that's always been our mentality. And we kind of we sat down before we left on the journey, and we really had that. We were just kind of thinking through our mindset as we go on this 2 year long excursion that we're doing. And it really, we recognized that our previous method of travel, which was that, right? Like, we got to see everything. It's only a 2 hour drive to there. Let's go
check it
off the list.
Right.
And if we did that for 2 or 3 years, like, we would be dead by the end of it. So we recognized that we needed to kind of shift our idea of travel. And from the very beginning, when we started traveling, and I've been very intentional about, no, this is not vacation. This is life. Like, this is just how we live now.
Exactly. So are your kids,
I think that was important.
Are your kids good travelers? They're pretty young. And I ask that honestly, because some kids, I was a good traveler because we travel. My parents took me on trips all the time. We moved all the time. I didn't mind sitting in the car for 10, 12 hours or 6 or 8 hours. I'd amuse myself and they made it fun along the way. And we played games or I slept, whatever it was. I didn't have trouble. But I look at many kids today and it's like, are we there yet? You've only been on the road for an hour because they don't travel anywhere. They don't go anywhere. Are your kids good travelers?
Yeah. Pretty good. Cora can read and likes it. So that helps.
We've learned some tricks too. One big one is audiobooks. So we listen to audiobooks that the kids enjoy as we go.
All 5 of Lloyd Alexander's Purdane Chronicles, The Black Cauldrons. So they got to listen to all of those. We've done the Harry Potters.
Right.
It's a really great opportunity to just have everybody, for the little guys, just have everybody listening to a story. And or the other one that we use is Pandora. There's a station called Jim Gaffigan Radio.
Yeah.
Right. And the Jim comedian. Gaffigan's a clean comedian.
Kid friendly.
So we'll listen to that. And it just, both of them give our family like inside jokes, inside stories that we can refer to.
There you go.
It's just, that's one of the things that I love most about road trips is getting to have like that drive time really allows us to make some really cool cultural connections as a family.
And I'll tell you the other thing, because I've done lots of road trips. I've been in 49 of the 50 states through the years, sometimes on business, but mostly on pleasure with the family here. So other people are going to Hawaii for the 4th time. We're going to Arkansas because we've never been there. And everybody groaned like, why are we going to Mississippi? Because we've never been there. That's the trip this year. And then when we got to Mississippi, we couldn't stay there because we had to see all 3 states around there. Because, you know, like you said, it's only 2 more hours. Let's go to this. So it was always that thing. But when we came home, we were exhausted because we had done so much. And I wonder how you sustain that. You've got to pace this out. This isn't something you can cram in. It isn't Europe. What's the famous joke? You know, if this is Tuesday, it must be Belgium or something here. I've lost track of the days. And what country is this? You're seeing so much in such a short period of time. That can be overwhelming. And you can't take it all in after a while either. It's just one looks like we did that in Florida. We went all the way down the coast from one beach to the next beach to the next beach. And pretty soon they all looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that we've done a good job of that. I think we've just, it wasn't until San Ignacio, which was 8-10 weeks into our trip, where we were finally in a place where we didn't have like big bucket list items planned for almost every other day.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, maybe we should intersperse some ugly places with nothing interesting to do or see for a while. Every 3 days, we just need to recover. And so I think it's taken us a while to experientially learn what we intellectually
knew,
guessed, right? That we would burn out, we would need downtime. I think you mentioned it on the first episode. It's like, we spent $5,000 getting here. We're going to see everything. And taking a nap.
Damn it. We're going to the blue hole right now, whether you want to or not, because I already bought the tickets, folks. We're there.
Exactly. So taking a nap feels
wasteful.
It feels wasteful.
Yeah. But I learned along the way we had to do that periodically. I didn't do it enough probably through the years. But I remember once we were in Cape Cod and we were only supposed to be there for a day. And I had 12 more things we're supposed to pack up and go down and see Plymouth Rock. And we're supposed to see all the other stuff, historical things, since I'm a big history buff. And instead, we ended up staying for like a couple of days. And what did we do in that day? We just slept at the beach. And then the kid played, made sandcastles. And I thought, I could do this in California. I spent $1 million to fly to Cape Cod. And we're building sandcastles on a beach that doesn't look that different than the beach at my home here. But it was that kind of unwinding. It was that really enjoying. And then when we slowed down, we started to see things we didn't otherwise see. The little funny shop, the little guy painting something. Any of those things that strike out that long? We must have seen some things along the way that you'll always remember here.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I feel like when we when we're on that, like, we've got to get here by this time because we've got to make the next tour or whatever that thing is that we're trying to check off the list. We don't see those little experiences or those little things on the side of the road that you wouldn't notice otherwise. And one that stands out to me is we were driving through Annapolis, Maryland, and it was like, okay, you can take the freeway from here to here, or you could take like this little side road. And I was like, you know what? Like we haven't, like, we've been go for the last couple weeks. Like, let's just take the side road. So we kind of took a little scenic route. And
and I decided that I wanted crab cakes because we're in Annapolis.
Of course.
We're having crab cakes for lunch.
Blue crab cakes. I've been there. Yeah, exactly.
And so we pull into this cute little turquoise restaurant and it's closed. So as we're pulling back out, a woman like waves us over. Oh, no, it was the parking lot. So she's waving us in and she's like, "Are you guys here for the 3 o'clock?" We're like, "The 3 o'clock what?"
the pirate boat tour. And of course, all the kids in the back seat are like, their ears perk up and they look at her right away like, "Pirate boat tour."
So we just happened to have arrived in a minivan full of children at a pirate boat tour designed for 5 to 10 year olds that was leaving in 30 minutes.
Perfect.
And it was such a magical serendipitous experience. So we got out.
We're like, of course we're here for the 3 o'clock pirate boat tour.
So we got our tickets and the kids got their fake tattoos and
eye patches.
Like you had it all planned. I remember when we were going through, we went to see Mount Rushmore, and we'll talk about that in a minute because you also went there and kind of liked it. As did I. And then we went to see Crazy Horse, this other thing we didn't even know existed, this even bigger sculpture of it, where they're taking the whole mountain and turning it into a statue, not just carving a face into the side of the mountain like Mount Rushmore. And as we're driving around and looking at all this stuff here, we started to realize there's lots of other little funny things along the way here that we wouldn't otherwise have even known existed. The giant a plastic cow up in North Dakota, Sioux City Sioux or something, whatever, wherever this is in the middle of, you can look it up. There's some giant plastic cow and you have to pull off the road. It's when you follow the road less traveled that you start to really see what life is like in those places.
That makes all the difference.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about South Dakota. That one, you were almost ready to stop. That might've been the forever home. I mean, that really struck you. What struck you about Rapid City, South Dakota? Yeah.
So, as you know, part of this was we had planned to stop for Asheville, North Carolina, because we're looking for a forever home. And
that's a beautiful place up in the Great Smoky Mountains. Yeah. I've been there. It's artsy. Oh. It's fun. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's still currently number one on the list, but we had stopped in the Black Hills of South Dakota to see Mount Rushmore.
Right.
And that was it. We were going to go stand in front of Mount Rushmore, take our photo for Instagram, and then head out.
Right.
But we ended up having a magical day. So we saw Rushmore. We saw Crazy Horse. Really loved Crazy Horse.
My wife. It's the one place she wants to go back to, again, of all the places we've been.
Yeah. And then we just drove through the hills and the little pigtail back road curlicues and
lots of those.
The trees and the mountains. And we went across the Skyline Highway. So we're at the very top of a mountain. We could see both valleys on either side of us. And we were looking for this little dinosaur exhibit because Bradley loves dinosaurs. And it was built in like the 1950s. Everything is ancient. It was so run down, but it forced us to drive on this Skyline Highway Trail that we thought was gorgeous. And then we're on the way back and Michael's like, you know, there's this little thing called Chapel in the Hills.
Mm.
And it was like, you tell it because you found it. It was amazing.
It was a Nordic, like all wooden chapel that was built kind of just off in the forest. Just absolutely gorgeous. It was just a magical experience. We showed up, same thing as the pirate adventure. It was like,
yeah.
We got there at about 6:30 and they were like, oh, we're having service at 7. Would you like to join us? We were like, absolutely. So we literally walked around at once and then service was starting. So we went in and joined their service and it was just
tiny chapel, candlelit service, and it was a sung mass. So they handed us pamphlets and just a cappella singing with these random strangers that we had never met before in this wooden chapel in the hills. And our favorite part was right during like silent meditation. So they read a scripture and then it was supposed to be silence for 3 minutes while we meditated and reflected.
This is like our life in the nutshell.
Right. Yeah. And then Bradley decides he's going to crawl towards the front where his brother is sitting on the stone floor. And he happens to raise his head right underneath the bronze baptismal fountain. And it goes off like a gong.
Oh my goodness.
In the middle of the service. Oh, and geez. I just die. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And Bradley's like, he wants to cry because it hurt. But I'm like looking at him like, what did you do?
Unbelievable. And those are the things you're going to laugh about the rest of your life. Everybody's going to remember that. So it wasn't so much Crazy Horse is spectacular. Believe me, everybody should go there. And so is Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. But once you've seen that, to go out and to be among the people and to be privileged to be part of a little communal service here in the middle of nowhere, that's magic to me. Now you're really getting to meet the people. And feel the place. Do you feel the urge to do more of that along the way? Because part of this isn't just to see the world. Part of this is to discover maybe something about these people in the world, maybe something about yourself. But ultimately, the dream is, we're going to talk about a lot, to find that forever place. Why are we going to live in Apple Valley the rest of our life? I don't know. That's where I'm from. That's where I've always lived. Well, maybe it'd be better over there. I don't know. I've never been over there. I don't know what it's like to live there. I drove through it. It seemed nice. But it isn't until you really experience it and get off the beaten path and spend some time there that you get a sense of what it's like.
I think that's really at the core of when we talk about like we want to start spending more time in one place. Like when we're going 3 to 4 days in each location, going to the next one, seeing what we can see, go to the next one, see what we can see. We don't have the time or the chance to get bored and just see what's there. Behind that shift of staying in each place for 2 weeks that we really want to start doing here soon is being able to get bored and see what there is to see and go meet locals and do the things that the locals are doing and really experience the place, because otherwise we don't know if this is a good place. You know, we can say,
beautiful and I'd love to be there, but
beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. But we don't have that experience of like, could this be home for us? Yeah.
Have you experienced, is America all the same, or when you go to these little towns, and particularly as you go from town to town, is there something different? Is there something special? Can you even capture that magic? Are you looking for that magic, or are you just looking at the scenery?
Oh my goodness. So that's one of the core things for our travel is that we could literally go from five-star resort to five-star resort and feel like we're in Los Angeles or Miami or New York City. Everything would feel exactly the same, right? That's one of the reasons why we've made the decision to travel using Airbnbs is because we really do get a feel for the place, because every single city, even in the U.S., when we think, oh, it's the United States, every single place that we went to that we had a home in a small neighborhood that we got to experience you know, the kids playing in the front yard and local kids walk by and they meet them. We got to go to local restaurants and ask people for recommendations. Everywhere that we have that experience and we have that interaction with the local community, it feels amazing. There's a couple cities that we stayed that we didn't have that. And there's definitely, from my perspective, there's a feel like, oh, like I really didn't. We stayed in Baltimore. Like, I'm sure Baltimore is beautiful. I'm sure there's a lot of great things in Baltimore. But where we stayed was like,
it was, stayed in the ghetto of Baltimore.
There's like some rough parts down by the harbor down there. You get out of the harbor and it's pretty rough for a while down there. Yeah, exactly.
We mostly stayed in our Airbnb. We did a couple of the historical sites because that's what we were doing. Yeah, that's still what we do all the time because I love history.
Did you go see Fort McHenry where they Francis Scott Key wrote the Star Spangled Banner? That's right there.
Yep. We saw that from a distance. We didn't get to go there specifically, but I have that. For me, like Baltimore, I didn't really connect with Baltimore. And I think that's why we didn't have the chance to get to know anybody. We didn't meet the local community at all. We were like huddled in our Airbnb. It was interesting.
As we were pulling up, spray painted on the concrete is no shooting zone. And I was like, if you have to specify with spray paint.
The shooting's over there. No shooting in this zone here.
The good news is that we were in the no shooting zone, though.
Good. All right. Wow. Thank goodness. I'll give you an example. Yeah. I went to Hawaii only once. Now, we all are from Southern California. I still live in Southern California. And every Southern California I know goes to Hawaii religiously year after year. It's their favorite place on the planet. Everybody tells me how great it is. We went once. We spent a ton of money. We stayed in I went to Maui. And we stayed in some high-powered resort right on the thing. And I hated it. I hated everything about it because I spent all this money to get there. And it felt very fake. I might as have been staying at Disneyland. And I thought, if I want to go stay at a luxurious resort, I could go down to Dana Point here and stay at the Four Seasons. I didn't feel any of the flavor of Hawaii. I felt the fake flavor of Hawaii. We went to the fake luau. We watched We did that. And I saw the Disneyland version of Hawaii, but I never got out and really saw anything because we were on the property and just stayed there.
Yeah. So for the record, we would strongly encourage you to try Kauai as an alternative solution. We loved Kauai for that reason. Like we did hikes, it bowed into the jungle.
That's what I was looking for. I missed it, the whole thing.
Yeah, it was great. So I think overall the United States was really great as like a warm-up lap for travel, because it felt hard in the moment because we were traveling and we were packing and everything was new, and we were trying to finish renovations on our house,
which is insane. But go ahead,
we had a whole lot of stuff going on, and just training the kids in transition. So Bradley gets into the habit of like, "Are we moving to our new house yet? Are we moving to our new house yet?" Like training them, like just get comfortable realizing we need night lights in the boys' room and the bathroom so they can find the toilet.
There you go.
Every new place, every new location.
Excellent mommy tip. Yes. Always carry little night lights with you that you can plug into an outlet.
There you go. There you go.
I do not want the boys to wake up in the dark in a strange location and wet their bed, which has happened a couple of times. So, we just trying to figure out how do we operate as a family in our own vehicle, in a place that speaks English, in a place where, like we said, we don't have to be very careful about what we do and don't pack. We could just stuff the shoes and the extra food and everything in the nooks and crannies of the minivan, and we could get away with heading out.
And there's gas everywhere you need it. And there's a Target or a Walmart down the street where you can go. We went to Walmart in Hawaii because we forgot, I don't know, sunscreen or some other things and stuff. Yeah.
Well, the nice thing is Walmart has found its way into most countries. If you're in a city, you can find a Walmart or its Latin equivalents. it was harder to transition to a non-English speaking country than I expected. When we started shifting to Mexico, Belize was easy because they spoke English, and now Guatemala, where nobody speaks English.
A couple of things that we really take for granted are the quality of travel and road conditions. I mean, you never know. Another great tip that we've learned is don't trust Google Maps 100%. Sometimes they'll take you a shorter, air quotes here, shorter journey because it looks like it's shorter on a map, but they've never driven it themselves. For example, we were going from from Tikal in northern Guatemala to kind of Simuc-Champe, which is kind of central Guatemala. And there was two paths that it gave us. It was like, oh, this way, it cuts off like 20 miles and it's about 30 minutes faster. And the other direction adds both time and distance. And I was like, well, shoot, let's take the shorter one. Right. We learned always ask locals which direction to take because we ended up on I do off-roading in the U.S. Like we go off-roading in the desert. We have a Suburban lifted. And so we're pretty experienced off-roaders, luckily. But the road that we drove through in Guatemala was worse than just about anything.
It's not a road. It's just it's a path. It's a footpath.
Right.
That you're
it's
trying
like
to
a
travel.
Riverbed.
Yeah.
This is where the water flows. So this is what people drive on. But and the locals that were there probably hadn't seen a white person or even like a nice car other than their like a delivery truck that drive this road probably ever. Like everybody would like stand out on their front porch and just watch us go by. Like these people must be incredibly lost.
Yes. And that was the one time I went to Belize, I was struck by two things. We went to Mexico once, way down into Mexico too. So it was kind of the same thing. And it was this one, you can't assume the road is going to be a road. You can't assume there's gas at every corner. I remember we almost ran out of gas in Mexico because I kept saying, well, let's go a little further. And then once we did, it was like, uh-oh, there's no gas out here. And we kept, now it can't, it's too far back, so we keep going. And I don't know when the gas is coming here. And you stop and they say, and we actually pulled up to a gas station. They said, we're out of gas. I'm like, oh,
right?
My God. You're out of gas.
In the U.S., we could get away with like, if we're at a quarter tank, it's not the end of the world. You only have, like, there's always a gas station that has gas within 20 miles. The light could come on. You're still fine. But here down south, I'm like, you know what? Let's just go ahead and fill up. I know.
Yes. 3/4 of a tank. Doesn't matter. Top it off.
Top it off. Exactly. I learned that the hard way. And then on the flip side of it, when we finally got up into the jungle of Belize, I remember thinking to myself, I didn't know you could really just go here. I didn't know that you could really get here. That it's like going on safari in Africa or something. It seems so daunting that I could never do this. And yet it is doable. So on the one hand, it's very doable, but you got to be very careful that the assumptions you make about roads, I'll give you another example. And I don't know if you do this along the way. We're up in the middle of Belize in the jungle and it starts to rain. And we look on the map. There's no Google Maps in those days. We look on the map and it says impassable road in the rain and it's raining. And I'm thinking, we may not get back down. We don't have any place to stay. I don't have a sleeping bag or anything here. And we're going to get stuck in this car. And then I'm thinking, nobody even knows we're up here. What if we died? What if we got stuck? What if the car breaks an axle on this bumpy road here? I can't call AAA. I don't know what to do. I'm helpless, and it scared me for a month. You know, do you ever think about that? What?
Oh, absolutely. We've got, we had a flat tire. That long day drive in Guatemala, we ended up getting a flat tire. Like, there's always little things that happen, but I feel like we always buy bottled water by like the 36 pack and have that in the car.
Right.
We always have a lighter. I carry a big knife with me all the time. So we always have a knife. We always try to make sure that we're as prepared as possible.
Yeah. So making sure you always have a wallet full of cash. Like when we were on that road, there were two places where guys had just strung up a cable across the road and you weren't allowed to cross their road unless you paid them 200 quetzales. Like it was literally highway robbery.
Right.
We're like, oh, okay. So toll road. We just need to think of this as a toll road. And then once we paid him the 200 quetzales, he lowered his bridge and we could drive through. But
amazing.
If we hadn't had any cash, like there's no way he's taking an ATM card.
Right.
So yeah, definitely full wallet of cash, full tank of gas, and plenty of water, because everything else is solvable.
Now, an overly thought out process from an old guy who's never traveled the world. But do you check in at the local embassies and tell them you're in town? just,
you know,
to-
we've had a couple people tell us to be like, oh, every country that you go into, go and talk to the embassy, tell them you're there, where you're going to be, and that kind of thing. We haven't really. We use a lot of social media, and we're in contact with our families on a probably every other day basis via cell phone. So
we always have our Airbnb as a local contact that we're WhatsApping and having communication with. I was going to say, like, in the same way that the United States was sort of a warm-up lap for traveling into Spanish-speaking countries, I still speak enough Spanish that I can muddle my way through with some pretty fantastic charades. But what I'm worried about is when we get into Asian countries, where I have zero basis for language. Like, I know zero Mandarin, zero Japanese, zero Vietnamese. And I can't like muddle it through with, well, I know my Latin roots, so I can figure out what you're saying. It's so I feel like we're kind of
even South America is kind of a warm up for us for the places where we really can't communicate or read road signs. Like we take for granted the fact that we still use, you know, Western alphabet. Like we can basically see what it is. But once we get into Asia, we're it'll be interesting.
I'm going to suggest that you do that just as a precaution, because let's say something bad happened. I'm not trying to predict, but you know, this is, these are scary places. Those guys rob you. They take your passport. Something happens. Somebody gets really sick or something. Or, you know, I don't know. I can come up with lots of scary scenarios. I'm sure you've been through all of them in your head here. But if somebody knows you're there, at least then they're looking for you. They have no idea that you're up in the jungle today here, nobody's looking for you if you don't show up somewhere.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think, I mean, it's funny you mentioned the embassies, but we always kind of train the kids in worst case scenarios. And one of them was like, if mommy and daddy just suddenly disappear,
right? Yeah, right. Exactly.
I was like, go to a playground, find a mom, ask her to take you to the U.S. Embassy. Like, this is how you get there.
Hopefully somebody who's got other kids is going to be,
a mom with kids should keep an eye out for you while mommy and daddy figure out why they're lost.
I think that's smart. I mean, I hate to say it, but there are places where they abduct tourists and they hold them for ransom and do other crazy things.
We heard lots of those stories from family members who wanted to talk us out of the trip.
Don't go.
Kind of like what we pointed out in an earlier episode is just the same thing has happened. Kids still get abducted in the United States.
Yes,
for sure. We hear more of the stories of them being abroad because it feels like an anomaly. Whereas sex trafficking and children being stolen happens in Los Angeles, just like it happens in other Mexico.
A lot in Los Angeles, more than we know. I'll give you one more example, then we'll wrap up this episode. Yeah. So I only took two wild trips with this one road trip down in Mexico, and which was a disaster from start to finish. I almost ran out of gas and everything here. And my whole life, I've never had my battery go dead. But we came out of this little car that I was renting and the battery's dead and we're in the middle of some village and some guy says, oh, I'll jump it. And instead, he blew it up and the battery literally exploded. Now I'm in a little village in the middle of nowhere and I have no battery. And so I thought, well, let's call AAA. No AAA. Let's go down to the auto, the car dealer. There's no car dealer. Let's go down to the car repair place. Where's the Firestone tires? There is none. And I'm like, oh my God, how do you get a new battery in the middle of nowhere? Well, my cousin knows somebody who might have a battery. We'll go out. And we sat there for 8 hours in that little place. We ate, we walked around. Somebody finally showed up out of nowhere and says, here, I got a battery. And I was so grateful. I was going to give him $1 million. And I'm like, no, thanks. Here, just, you know, here, pay for the battery, 20 bucks. But it took everything took forever. There was no way to take care of a battery in the middle of a village. It never occurred to me. I'm so American. It never even occurred to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, all that to say, in the U.S. road trip, it was great for the kids to get used to being on the road. It was great for us to kind of have that vacation experience before we had to figure out school. And we can talk about schooling another
episode. We'll talk about that the next time here, right? Because this is the summer. You didn't really have to do face it. At some point you got to teach the kids, and you got to pace the kids.
Yeah.
And at some point, I wonder if they hit a wall. I'm not trying to curse this, but do they come to a point and they say, I'm not going any further. I don't want to go any further. I want to go home.
And you're like, it would make great radio.
It would make great radio.
I got to admit, we're not the most compassionate. At one point, Bradley was like, I don't want to walk anymore. And he just sat down on the trail and we're like, all right, well, when you're done, we're going to be this direction.
Go find us. We're up over there over the hill. Wow.
And you turn one corner and he's like, Mommy!
You got to keep the train moving. You got to keep the team going here. And there is a place sometimes I found that even along the trip, as I said, we'd take these extended road trips and eventually the family would revolt and they'd say, we're staying here one more day. Why do you love it here? No, because I don't want to pack and go somewhere tomorrow.
Yes.
This is it.
I might revolt.
It's a give and take, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to see lots of things. You're going to see revolutions. You're going to see hurricanes. You're going to see miracles. You're going to see amazing things along the way. And we can't wait to ride along with you and see what's next around the next bend as we follow the Caitlin Domner and her husband, Michael, and their three kids as they venture all over the map, all over the world, in search of that magical, mystical place they'll call home. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.